If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and open it to Exodus. It's in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter number 17 is where we're going to look here in just a few minutes. We're going to tell a story this morning, and we are excited about today. We're going to start a new sermon series. We just finished up our last series of messages on Sunday morning, and moving on to the next one. And today we're going to kick it off by talking a little bit about our moms. You know, moms are unsung heroes, aren't they? Moms are unsung heroes. They have tireless labors of love and selflessness. If you're not sure what selflessness looks like, then just look at a mom. And they are the epitome of selflessness and giving to others. Whether it's a stay-at-home mom who spends her day watching after the home and the children while anxiously waiting for her husband to come home just so that she can have a much-needed break and some actual adult conversation. Our deeds go unnoticed. Or if it's a working mom who works long hours and just about the time that she needs a break, she gets home and has to take care of the home, the children, and the husband. And so no matter what, where your situation is there, a mother's work is never done. Those of you that think your work is done once you have your children out of the house, those of you that have children out of the house would say, not hardly, huh? Mother's work is truly never done. Mother's work is seldom appreciated. That video was pretty accurate, wasn't it? About how many acts go unnoticed. You know, I don't know about you men, but whenever I do something around the house, you know, for example, doing the dishes, as I'm thinking about it, I don't remember the last time I did the dishes. Do you, honey? No, she doesn't either. But I will tell you this. One of the reasons I don't do it is because whenever I do the dishes, I prefer to have some kind of celebration afterwards. You know what I mean? If I do the dishes, I'd like to have the kids come in with their instruments, you know, and a parade. And Dad, you're awesome. You know, if I do some laundry, we expect some recognition, right, men? That's right. And the ladies are going, whatever. You did one load. You folded one basket of clothes, you know. You loaded the dishwasher one time. We would need a calculator, though, to tally up the number of times that moms have done things around the house for their family without one person saying thank you. A mother's work is often unnoticed. And that's what Mother's Day is all about. We want to take time to think about, to stop and to meditate upon all that our mothers mean to us. It's a time to stop and notice all the things that they do, the things they have done, and express our appreciation for them. You know, I couldn't help but think about the fact that when you think about your mom and all the different things that go unnoticed, I can't help but think that often we do the same thing with God, don't we? You know, God is a lot like our mothers in that he's always at work. He knows exactly where we are. He knows our thoughts. The Bible talks about how he cares for the birds, making sure they're fed. It talks about how he numbers the hairs of our head. And for some of us, that's a full-time job in and of itself, all right, with all the hair we're losing, right? But God is always at work, yet so much of the work of God goes unnoticed. You know, it's just like with a child whenever they sit down to eat at dinner. Or we as husbands, you know, maybe you get home and your wife has prepared a meal and you sit down and the children will enjoy that meal, but we don't think about the work that it took to get that thing on the table. Everything else that was going on around the house and then to be able to do it, you know, children oftentimes take for granted everything that the parents do. You know, our children sometimes say, why? And, you know, my stereotypical dad answer is, because I said so, you know. And if they don't like it, it's like, well, you know what? You're more than welcome to get a job. Go out and pay for your own house. You know, pay your own electric bill, you know. Kids don't notice all the work that goes into making sure that a home is paid for and taken care of or a meal that is prepared. And the same thing is true about the blessings of God. We enjoy the blessings of God, but truthfully, how many of us are aware of the work that God is doing around us on a daily basis? I mean, let's just get real practical here. How many times last week were you aware that God was at work in your life? I mean, stop and think about it for a second. You know, we this is a great springboard in thinking about moms, because if you had to stop and think about everything your mom did for you in 1 week, man, you'd have a whole list of things, but you'd have to stop and think about it. And the truth is, if we had to stop and think about everything that God has done around us or for us in our lives over the last week, we could start listing some things, but it takes that intentionality to begin to be aware of what God is doing. And so with this idea in mind, we're going to start a new sermon series today entitled Unnoticed, Becoming Aware of God's Work Around Us. And today the first way to become aware of God's work around us is to recognize His work that is done around us through the lives of others. One of the ways that God works around us is through others that He allows into our lives. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story found in the book of Exodus. If you're not there, Exodus chapter number 17, we'll have the words up here as well. But we're going to look at the story of a Bible hero. Now, many of you have some kind of Bible background, and so here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I want you to think of a Bible hero, and I want you to say their name out loud on three. I'm giving you a second to think of a Bible hero, all right? Bible hero. Everybody got one? All right. Some of your, there's smoke coming out of some of your ears. You're thinking rather hard. All right, here we go. Ready? On three, say your Bible hero. One, two, three. All right. I heard a few, mostly a mumble there, though, but I heard David. What were some other ones? Paul? What was it? Moses? Sure. Noah? Timothy? I'm hearing a lot of them. There's a lot of them in there. I'm just curious. Did anybody say the name her? No, I don't think so. You know why? Because we don't know a whole lot about that guy. We're going to look at the story here of this guy named Her, and Her, it's kind of ironic that it's Mother's Day and we're talking about her, all right? But anyway, it's a dude we're talking about here, all right? It's a guy, and we're going to look at his life and look at this Old Testament hero. At this time, when we come to Exodus chapter 17, Moses is leading the Israelites toward the promised land, all right? So they've left Egypt. You remember they were in bondage for all those years? You remember the 10 plagues and everything that happened there? And now they've left Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land, and they are going to end up being in a battle. At this time, Moses is the leader and his right-hand man. Does anybody know who Moses' right-hand man is? He's the guy that's going to take over once Moses dies. His name was Joshua, all right? Joshua, I kind of like that name. But his name is Joshua. And then we're going to see two other characters. One of them is a man named Aaron, all right? He's not the guy that runs that rental store with the dog, you know, over in, sorry, I thought maybe more people would pick up on that. Aaron's Rentals. All right, corny preacher jokes, all right? But Aaron, what was his job? Does anybody know what Aaron's job was? He was the high priest, all right, which was a big deal in those days to be the high priest. And we won't go into all of that, but we do know that he was the older brother of Moses. He was a spokesman to Pharaoh when they were in Egypt, and he was the first high priest. And there's several stories about Aaron in the Old Testament. But the other character we have here is this guy whose name is Hur, H-U-R. We don't know much about him. Here he is. He's an instrumental part of one of Israel's greatest victories, and for the most part, he goes completely unnoticed. Completely unnoticed. Let's look at the story here in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 8. Exodus 17 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Then came Amalek," this is one of the enemies, "and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." I brought a visual illustration here just so that I could have it. I tried to find a cool-looking rod, and the best thing I could come up with was a broken rake, all right? And so this is going to represent the rod of God or the broken rake of Josh, one of the two, all right? And so he says, I'm going to take this rod, and this rod was symbolic of God's power during that time. And he says, I'm going to take that rod, and we're going to go up to the top of a hill while you guys are fighting, all right? How many guys like that boss? He's like, you guys go down there and put your lives in jeopardy. I'm going to go hang out on a hill with God, all right? And he says, I'm going to take that rod with me. And we see in verse number 10, it says, and so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. So Joshua has all these chosen men. He's out there, and he's fighting with the Amalekites, Amalek here. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So all these three guys, Moses takes his posse with him here, Aaron and Hur, and they go to the top of the hill. They've got the rod of God. And in verse number 11, it gets interesting, because in verse 11, it says, it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. All right, do you know what that means when it says if he held up his hand, Israel prevailed? It means they were winning, all right? It means that they were taking people out. Their swords were cutting people's heads off or whatever it was, all right? They were winning the battle as long as his hand was held up. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So what we see in this passage here is that all Moses had to do was take the power of God and hold it up in the air. Now, I remember whenever I was in middle school, we had a teacher that whenever we would get in trouble, he'd make us hold our hand up, and we'd have to hold it there the whole time. Now, that seems easy, and I thought about challenging someone to do that through the whole service today, but I thought maybe that's probably not the best thing to do, all right? Because your arm starts to fall asleep, and it does get heavy. Has anyone tried to hold your arm up for an extended period of time, and you know how difficult it can be? Now, on top of that, he is holding a rod, so it's not just holding up your hand, but I don't know how heavy that rod was. I don't know how big it was, but what I do know is that as long as he held it up, they were winning the battle. And as he began to let that down, they began to lose the battle. Now, I can't explain why they have it that way, but all we know is that's the truth of what happened in this story. And it says in verse number 12 that when Moses' hands were heavy, they took a stone and they put it under him. So who else was on that hill with him? Aaron and Hur. And as Moses began to get tired, he's standing on top of this hill, he's watching down into the battle, and he's doing everything he can to keep his hand up. He's starting to get tired, and so they roll up a stone. Apparently they didn't have any lawn chairs or anything like that during that time. So they rolled up a stone and they let Moses sit down on it, right? So Moses is sitting down and he's holding his hands up as best he can. But look what it says at the end of verse 12. It says, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So you can picture this in your mind as he's sitting there on that rock and he's got his hands up. He's got one person, Aaron, on one side holding up the rod, and Hur on the other side holding up the rod. And God enabled them to win the battle on that day through the work that Moses, Aaron, and Hur did. One of the things that we notice here is that I believe Hur was unthanked and unnoticed. God used Hur to enable his people to move toward their destiny. And I believe that in Hur and in our mothers, we see God at work around us. He uses others to enable us to move toward his destiny and God's purpose for our lives. God's purpose was for them to do what to the Amalekites? Kill them all, man. Kill them all. Let God sort them out, right? He said, I want you to go in there and take care of business. He says, I've given you the power to do it. And Moses went in there, and I'm sure he thought, man, this is going to be easy. All I can do is hold my hand up. And as he got his hand up, he realized it wasn't as easy to do what God had called him to do. And so as he's holding his hand up, he realized he needed help. And Aaron and Hur said, we're going to be there to hold your hands up. Can I tell you one of the ways that God works in our lives is through people around us that are doing things that often go unnoticed. There's four characteristics I want to share of Hur, and I believe it's true of mothers, and it's true of anyone around us that is holding up our hands spiritually. The first thing is that they are invaluable. They are invaluable. Verse number 12 says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, they put it under him, and they stayed up his hands. It doesn't look like Aaron and Hur did very much that day, does it? I mean, hold this thing up. I mean, Steve, how much does that thing weigh? It doesn't weigh hardly anything, does it? I mean, you hold one end, I hold the other end. Doesn't seem like much, does it? It didn't seem like much. All he had to do on that day was he had to walk up to the top of a hill, all right? I've hiked up a few little mountains before, but it doesn't even say it was a mountain. It says it was a hill. So it wasn't like he had a huge responsibility. All he had to do was hold up a rod and walk up a hill. And you know, the truth is that oftentimes we kind of feel pretty similar to that, don't we? We kind of feel like what God's given us to do may not seem like it's such a big deal. You know, Moses could not have done his job without them. This story would have been completely different if Aaron and Hur weren't there. And what I want to share with you today is if you're that mom that's out there and you feel like so much of what you do goes unnoticed, I'd like to tell you that just like with her, the work that you are doing is invaluable. And I don't know who your Moses is, who you are holding up their hands or who you are supporting or who you're cheering on or who you're climbing the hill for, but they will not do what God has called them to do without your help. They're invaluable. And for those of you that are in a position where you're seen by others, can you imagine, as they looked up on the hill, as they're fighting, you know, all those Amalekites are down there, and Joshua and all his people are down on the hill, and when down at the bottom of the hill, and when they looked up the hill, who do you think they were looking at? They were looking at Moses. Moses was the one who seemed to have the power. But the truth of the matter was, Moses couldn't do it on his own. And some of you, you're that one that people look up to. And, you know, we begin to get a complex sometimes if we begin to think that, you know, life is about us. You know, that God can't do it without us. But I got news for you. Ain't one of us God needs. He can do his work any way he wants, and he can use anyone he wants. And may God help us not to get a complex to where we begin to feel like we are the specific person that can only do the work of God. Every one of us can be used of God at any moment and at any time. I don't know who the Moseses and Joshuas are in your life, those that are out front taking the credit, but I want to remind you, don't fall for the lies of the devil. Moses, to the person that is the Moses, don't believe that it's you getting it done, but at the same time, those of us that are hers, that are holding up the rods, encouraging someone else, let's not believe that what we do doesn't matter. You know, as a pastor, I'm the guy that's standing on top of the hill. You know, there's one guy you guys are looking at today. You know, whenever the service is over, almost every week, people say, "That was a great sermon, that was a great service, blah, blah, blah." You know, and I'm not trying to say I don't appreciate that, okay? Probably shouldn't have said blah, 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 right? Some of you are like, "Dah, dah, dah, meh, meh," you know, like Charlie Brown's mom, you know. No, just kidding, all right? Keep those comments coming, all right? I'm sure I'll get some great comments after the service now. But you get that, you know, man, that was great. You know, those of you that are life group leaders, people say, "Man, that was a great life group session. And man, I just feel like God really worked." You know, the truth of the matter is, this place doesn't run well because of Josh Buto. You know why we have a good service? Because these ladies and these men that were up here, they were here on Saturday practicing. You know, Ben was in his office getting all that stuff arranged. There was someone here that was cleaning. On Saturday, there was people in there painting and putting in ceiling tiles. And on Friday, I heard messages about people going to visit others and to be an encouragement to them. And I got messages from other people that said that they missed one church service and 8 different people contacted them to tell them that they missed them there, you know. And they said, "Man, I just didn't realize what kind of a family this church is." Can I tell you why this church operates? It's not because Josh Buto's up here holding the rod. It's because we got a bunch of Aarons and hers out there that are holding up the rod and getting it done, and you are invaluable. Don't believe for a second that because you're not up on a platform singing or preaching or leading a life group or doing something in the limelight that you're not valuable. I'm here to tell you, this story would have been completely different without Aaron and her. And the same thing is true about our church. You know why this church is full this morning? Because you guys have been inviting people. I'd be embarrassed to say how many of you came to church because I invited you. But I'd be proud to say how many of you came because someone else in this room invited you. The overwhelming majority of you are here, not because of me. It's because someone else loved enough to care out and hold up someone's hands and encourage someone along. You know, at home, you may feel like what you're doing doesn't matter, but I'm here to tell you that you are invaluable. Not only are these folks that are behind the scenes that are unnoticed, not only are they invaluable, but they are involved. And we see that in this passage. In verse number 10, it says that Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. They said, "Moses, if you're going to the hill and you want us to go, hey, we'll do it. If you want us to roll up a rock for you to sit on, we'll roll up a rock. Let's roll some stones," right? Like we've been talking about the last few weeks. And so we'll do whatever it takes. We want to be involved. You know, Moses was a great leader. Joshua was a great general. Aaron was the high priest. And Hur was, we don't really know. We don't know a whole lot about her. While his responsibilities didn't seem important or impressive, we see that he was willing to do whatever it took. And on that day, what it took was walking up a hill and holding up someone's hands. You know, in today's terms, Herr would not have been up on the platform preaching, singing, or playing an instrument. He wouldn't have been writing the blogs or leading an influential class or being sought out for life-changing counsel. He was the one that was just there. He was the one that was present. He was the one that was willing to do whatever was necessary. Can I tell you that our bodies are the same way? That's the way God made us. And you know, we have parts of the body that are very out front, you know, and that wasn't a joke for those of us with big noses, all right? But there's certain parts of the body that you can see that are influential, your mouth and your eyes and your ears and things that you can see. But all of us have other parts of our body that don't get seen, but they're doing an important job. Raise your hand if you got a liver this morning, all right? I don't know if we got someone here without one, but it's hard to live without one. You got two kidneys, and maybe you don't have both of them, but you got to have at least one, right? I think that's right, two kidneys or two livers. If you got two of each, you're in trouble, all right? They didn't teach us that at Bible college. But and the church, God calls the church the body of Christ. We're the body. And there are parts that are like Moses and Aaron that are out front. But there are other parts like her that are behind the scenes getting the job done, and that we need every one of them. We can't do everything, but we can do something. You know, Brother Carol Phillips, he normally sits back there, and I don't see him, and it might be because someone else is in his seat. Is Carol here? Carol said, hey, I want to do something at the church. What can I do? What can I do? And Keith Wilson was talking to him. He said, well, I hate weed eating. He said, and I mow the yard. Carol said, I'll do that. I'll be the official church weed eater. You know what I think? Amen. You know, I'm glad that he wants to get out there and weed eat, all right? And you know what? I believe there are other things that are like that, that some of us would go, you know, I'm not sure what I can do because I don't have this skill or I don't have that talent, but you do have something that you can do to be involved in the work of God. At the least, we can be praying. You know, at the least, we can be praying that God would work in the hearts of people that come through our doors, that God would give us power from behind the pulpit, that he would fill the singing and specials with his spirit. Man, it'd be important for us to realize that while we can't do everything, we can do something. And let me just throw this in here. If someone is unwilling to do the things in private, then I am unwilling to let them do things in public. You know, I get a little bit weary, or not weary, I get a little bit scared of someone that they only want to do something where they're seen by large groups of people. You know, we're supposed to be servants. That's what Jesus said. Jesus was a servant, wasn't he? And I think it's important that we realize that these people that are behind the scenes, they are involved. Not only that, but usually they're invisible. Her is not mentioned before this passage in Exodus 17. And there are only a couple of other passages that we see him after this. He lived in the shadows while other people received the glory. I can just kind of picture in my mind's eye, here's Moses. They've held up that rod, and they've won the battle. In those days, they'd march back into camp, you know, everybody in tow, and they're excited. You know, they're bringing the spoils of war with them. And can you kind of picture in your mind, you got Moses out front, then right behind Moses is Joshua, right behind Joshua is Aaron, and then right behind Aaron is her. And I can see everybody, you know, cheering on Moses and high-fiving him and saying, yeah, way to hold up that stick, you know, that rod, way to lead us as a people. And then here comes Joshua, you know, and all Joshuas are, you know, just built like tanks. And, I mean, just big old dude, and he's a fighter, and they're all going, yeah, way to chop those heads off and lead that army and everything else. And then Aaron's the high priest, and so whenever they get to town, Aaron is going to lead in prayer, and all of them are in a big spot, and then there's her. He didn't have a major job that we know of, not one that's listed in Scripture. And I can kind of picture him walking back to his tent. And when I picture him walking to his tent, I don't see him walking with his head held low. Oh, poor me. No one saw me roll up that stone for Moses. Poor me. No one saw me hold up that rod. I don't get to pray. I don't get to cut anyone's head off, you know. Poor, poor, pitiful me. I don't see him walking that way. I see him walking to his tent, and he's not giving praise to Moses, and he's not giving praise to Joshua, and he's not giving praise to Aaron, and he's not giving praise to himself. He's giving praise to God, because it was God that won that victory. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter number 6, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And I tell you, I believe the people in heaven that are going to get the greatest rewards aren't going to be the preachers that stood up in front of everybody, because quite honestly, you guys treat us so well. You give us kind words, and you say very nice and kind things, and even kind gifts and different, just all kinds of generosity towards us as leaders. But I believe in heaven, the people that are going to get the greatest rewards are the ones that were teaching someone over in a corner somewhere that no one ever even noticed. Someone that was over in a closet praying for someone, or praying all the time, asking God to do a work in their lives, or someone that was faithfully witnessing to their co-workers, inviting people to church, and someone that was just over in the corner that no one even took notice of. They were unnoticed. They were invisible. People like her don't mind working and letting other people get the recognition. It doesn't matter if men see your work or not. God sees it. But I want to tell you, there's one other thing about these people, is that they're invested. Not only does God see your work, but those that you love and those that you know, they see your work as well. Later on, as you go through the Old Testament, God was going to give the Israelites a tabernacle. And if you remember anything about the tabernacle, it was very illustrious. It was very beautiful, very specific dimensions that were given for it, very specific parts. And God wanted someone that was very skilled, someone that was very good at what they did, to go in there and work on that tabernacle with their hands. And there was a man by the name of Bezalel, another guy that most of us have no idea who he is. But God, out of all the people, the children of Israel, they estimate about 2 million people, out of all the people, God chose this guy named Bezalel because he was skilled with his hands. He chose Bezalel to put together the tabernacle of the Lord. Anybody want to guess who Bezalel was related to? Her. Her was Bezalel's grandpa. And because Bezalel was willing to work in the shadows, because he was willing to not be out front and just do what God called him to do, no matter if it was something that people saw him or people didn't, whether he had influence or didn't have influence, he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. And years down the road, he had a little grandson that watched old Grandpa Hur faithfully and quietly serve God. And God was able to use Bezalel in a mighty way, because of his grandpa's influence that seemed to go unnoticed to everyone else. But there was someone else watching. As I think about these truths, I'd like for those of you that are moms, those of us as moms, I'd like for us to remember this. Those of you that are moms, I want you to remember, someone's watching. Those of you that are Sunday school teachers or bus workers or nursery workers or ushers, yard mowers or weed eaters, I want to tell you that it's important for us to know that someone's watching. Not only is God watching, but others are watching. And I like what someone said at one point. They said, the wise servant knows that his life is an investment, and it's amazing what you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit. In conclusion, there's two groups of people to address. There are those of you that are like her. They're in the background. I want to reassure you this morning. Moms, you're invaluable. You're involved, invisible, and you're investing. I want to encourage you to keep holding up others' hands. Those of you that aren't moms, but you still are working behind the scenes, don't quit. Keep on. Keep on. But there's also those of us that know a her. Those that are unnoticed people all around us. Or there are unnoticed people all around us. I want to remind us, we need to encourage them. We need to thank God for them. Sometimes we expect God to work in miraculous ways, but most of the time he is working, and it's through the life of someone that is willing to let him receive the credit. I thought about doing this morning, but I knew it would embarrass my mom and my wife, and they're sitting right here. That's all right. I'm going to let Moses hold this rod, all right? That's Jeff. Jeff's my stepdad. I'm thankful for him. Well, Moses there is holding the rod. And if I ask Jeff to hold that rod the whole time, he's going to get tired. It's going to get heavy. If the success of my ministry, of my life, of my family was dependent upon Jeff holding that rod, we'd be in trouble because he's not going to be able to do it the whole time. But you know what? I've got a mom, And I've got a wife that are holding the ends up, and they're holding that thing up. And I just want to encourage you. Don't forget about your mom. I mean, that's obvious on Mother's Day, right? But don't forget about these people that are behind the scenes. I'm here to tell you that behind every good man is a good woman. And I'm far from a good man, but I've got good ladies that have been behind me. My mom, for so many years, and even now, she's backed me up. And now my wife, holding up my arms. Man, I'm so thankful for them. And I don't do enough to encourage them. Let me just remind you, if you don't encourage your encourager, who's going to encourage you? If you don't lift up the hands of those that are holding up your hands, who's going to hold up your hands? Thank God for these. And I want to encourage my wife, keep on, I can't do it without her. Encourage my mom, keep on, can't do it without her. And I want to encourage those of you that are holding up my hands in prayer or holding up the hands of this church through serving the Lord. Keep on. Keep on and don't quit. And may God help us to notice the work of God around us through the lives of others. Let's pray together.